Welcome to the Ice Lab Podcast. We are your hosts, Michael Marinaro and Trent Michaud.
We are going to take you deep into our labs, as well as many different high-performance professionals we've connected with on our journey as we strive for excellence. Welcome back, Ice Labbers, to another episode of the Ice Lab Podcast. Mr. Marinaro, what's going on, big guy?
Not much. We are back after a couple week hiatus. I think we went just over 6 months straight through without missing a week. Then life got in the way, a couple other things. Took a little bit of a pause from the podcast, but now we are getting in the Christmas spirit, getting ready for nationals and bringing the podcast back for you guys.
Yeah, one would say that my and Mike's time management was on point for 6 months and then was not on point for a couple weeks.
we were due for a little couple lackluster weeks. It was due. Hopefully won't be too often.
Yeah, for sure. It was a busy couple weeks anyways. We had Croatia, and then just coming back from that, taking a couple days off to rest and recover, because it's a quick turnaround. And nationals, we're recording on December 22nd, and nationals is 2 weeks away Friday. Mike?
Yes.
You know what else that means is 2 weeks away Friday?
What is it, Trent? I'm not sure.
Mike's big 3-0 birthday. 2 weeks Friday, big guy.
Sharp program day, getting pumped up. We are 16 days out from nationals. Lots of COVID craziness going on the world, but just trying to block that out, buckle down, and get in the final 2 week push to put on some big performances at the national championships.
Yep, getting very excited. Like Mike said, it's kind of hard. There's a lot of news with relevated to COVID right now, which is, can be scary and nerve wracking, but we're just focusing on our training and focusing on ourselves for the next few weeks and just hunkering down. We got to play a nice round of disc golf today with for our little Christmas party. It was a lot of fun. Snowy, felt very Christmas-like, eh, Mike?
Yes, it was a little cold. A couple of the younger girls, I don't think we're having too much fun out there in the cold, but overall, we had a good time and introduce a couple new faces to the sport of disc golf, which we both enjoy.
Yes, sir. And I think Mike and I were the only two people to fall, because we're the ones going all out on the tee pads.
Yeah, it was a little icy out there today.
Yeah, exactly. So in light of that, I hope everybody has a safe holiday season. As I said, it's December 22nd. We're 3 days away from Christmas. It's absolutely crazy. Boom, it was here. And it'll be the new year soon. So hope everybody has a safe and happy holidays.
Yes, this will be coming out just after Christmas. So hopefully everybody had a good Christmas or holiday and spent some good quality time with the family. And importantly, eat some good food.
That's the best. One of the best parts.
Yes, it is.
All right, Mike. So, after a few week hiatus, who is our first, one might say victim, another might say guest, back onto the podcast?
Our next victim is one of my very big role models for me growing up. He was an older male skater in my club who has turned his passion for figure skating into quite the career. He is the artistic director at Disney on Ice, a performance consultant, skating coach and choreographer, and newly a children's book author and creative director. So please welcome to the podcast, Mr. Adam Loosley.
Hello.
How's it going today, Adam?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being with us. I can see in our listeners can't see it, but I can see you're in the Christmas spirit. You got the lights up behind you on the painting there. It's very nice.
Yep, sure do. That's definitely what you have to do when you're celebrating Christmas on the road. You definitely bring some of the holiday magic and spirit to right into your hotel room to kind of feel like you're at home. I'm in Boston currently right now.
Yes, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to spend an hour with us. And
of course,
before we get started, I just want to send out a huge thank you to you and your whole family for everything you've done for me over the years, the lessons, the endless amount of support from your entire family. And even more importantly than just myself, thank you from all of Lambton County for your whole family, what your mom and dad have done for the sport of figure skating in the whole county is just astronomical. The amount of passion, time, and dedication that they have put into the support. Everybody in Lambton County is lucky to have them, whether they were in direct contact with them or in indirect contact. Everybody in the skating community in Lambton County has benefited from the presence of Mr. and Mrs. Loosely. So I just want to give a quick shout out to them and thank you to your entire family.
Thank you. That's super nice. And it means a lot. It's really good to see you, Michael. I haven't seen you, I don't think, probably since we were with the show in Montreal. I remember we took a picture with Don Jackson, and I think it was probably over 5 years ago now that I've seen you, but I am also your biggest fan and I follow all of your competitive history and your competitive career, and good luck at Nationals in a couple weeks.
Appreciate it. Thank you. So
we're your biggest fan.
So our listeners don't know, but you come from a huge, huge skating family. Mom and dad have dedicated a lot of time, like I just said, obviously, but how did you get into the sport of figure skating?
Yeah, I do come from a skating family for sure. Both my mom and dad, like you mentioned, are coaches, but my older brother, Jay, he's 5.5 years older than I am, and he skated. So I definitely grew up in the arena in Petrolia, Ontario. And then I trained, of course, with you, Michael, in Sarnia, Ontario. And I definitely watched my older brother skate for many, many years, and then finally put on some skates myself. And then once I got into private lessons, my coach, Mark Moore, he was my coach my whole competitive career, still a really huge role model and friend to me today. But once I started having lessons with Mark, he really changed it for me. I really wanted to skate. I wanted to jump. I liked how fast you could go. It was exciting. And that kind of kicked off a whole competitive career of my own when I was younger. And I really enjoyed it. I loved growing up in the arena. And then later in my career, I kind of found this whole Disney on Ice thing, which for me was a really good match, because Disney on Ice, what it does really well is fuse together the athleticism of figure skating with drama and theatrics, and you get to tell some stories. So for me, I love theater. So this was a really good mesh of the sport I love and theater and drama. So it was a really good opportunity for me, and I kind of took off with that in my early 20s.
That's awesome. So I just want to go back for a sec to, you know, Mike mentioned you're from quite a small town in Ontario, especially in Southern Ontario. I think realistically in Ontario in general, I'm from a small town as well, and we've all gone through it. You know, how did you face those, some of those difficulties that come along with that, being a male figure skater in a small town, especially where hockey is, you know, as we know, is so prevalent in the Canadian lifestyle and the Ontario lifestyle? Like, obviously I'm still a massive hockey fan. I've got the Leafs up behind me, but, you know, how did you deal with that? Because I think that's something that is still a big problem, unfortunately, for a lot of younger male skaters and skaters and people in general. So, you know, what was your takes on that, and what helped you at that time?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely come from a small hockey town. So it was my brother and myself really that were skating in my hometown. A few more, like Michael, of course, my two really good friends, Don and Morgan Jackson, were two other male skaters. I had friends that I could skate with that were other males, and that was really helpful. But it does teach you strength. You know, you have to be a strong person who really just stays the course and does what they love. And I loved to skate. I loved it. It was fun. It was athletic. Like I said, it was a good fusion of theatrics and theater and sport. So for me, it taught me some resilience, of course, growing up. And I think what really helped me through all of that in my early high school years, which are those challenging years, you know, was that I did have a good support system of a family that always promoted being exactly who you are and following your dreams, you know. And that sounds really cheesy, but that was really what I needed to hear when I was young, and I liked it. So I stayed the course and did what I loved and was exactly who I was authentically. And I had a family that was really supportive of that. And that's why I took kind of a leap to go to start traveling with the ice show. And that was a huge decision that changed the rest of my life so far. Really, that was a big decision. So definitely a support system and a family that was always behind me. And I'm super appreciative of them and that for sure. And for people that are starting skating, male skaters, young boys that want to start this, I tell them to just follow their heart, be themselves.
If you love it, go for it.
And surround yourself with great people. And what skating is really good at is there's some really great people. You know, we are a fun, great community, and you have the support system built in if you're open to that. So utilize all of those resources around you and have fun.
Yeah, exactly. I can't stand Mike, obviously. That's why we do this. No, very, like you said, it's very true. The skating community is very small and it is very tight, and we, you know, we support each other. So to any of those, I've said it before too, is to anybody, just reach out, you know, like reach out to some other male skaters, even the older ones who are on the high performance team or the world team, you know, they're probably going to answer back and give you some tips. I know that I was very lucky when I was younger that Dylan Moskovich and Bryce Davidson did that for me when I was like 12 or 13 years old and going through it. So that was huge for me. So, you know, I'm sure Mike could tell his own versions of it, but that's, we all go through the same part. So, you know, just reach out and ask questions.
Yeah, because everyone is surrounded by really inspirational individuals, you know, a lot of talent. There's a lot of role models that you can really look up to. And like you said, reach out for sure. It's funny that you mentioned Bryce and Dylan. I competed with both of them in high school. I haven't heard those names in a long time. If they're listening, say hi.
Yes, those role models play a key role and are very, very important. If when I was a younger boy at the Point Skating Club, if I didn't have you, Adam, Don, Morgan, all those guys to look up to, I'm not sure if I would still be here today. So thank you to you and the rest of that key group that led me along the way right from the very beginning.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way about my coach, Mark, as well. I mean, having a strong male role model to be a coach was another really inspiring thing for me in my childhood, for sure. So he was a key player in why I stuck with it.
Well, anybody that has those people, thank you for, you know, being those people that keep us going. We can't, you know, like you said, if you love it and you... that's what you want to do, you got to follow it. So it took you to Disney on Ice, which, you know, for obviously it sounds like what it is. It's Disney on Ice. But do you want to give more of a storyline to what Disney on Ice is to you?
Sure. So right at the end of my competitive career, when I was finishing up high school and I was making choices about what steps were next for me, I did a show that came through Sarnia called Celebration on Ice, and it was with all my heroes. It was Kurt Browning, Brian Orser, they are still my heroes. So it was a really good opportunity. And Michael, you did that show as well.
Yes.
Right? So that.
Yes. I remember that. I forgot about that one.
Right. And it was a Christmas Stars on Ice. And it was just a really, really huge opportunity because they asked local talent to come in and skate in the show. And that was going to be kind of my last show. I was going to go away to school and become an elementary school teacher. And then I did that show and I was like, you know, I don't think I'm ready to hang up the skates. I don't think I'm ready to close this chapter quite yet. And I was just sitting at the breakfast table at home, and there was a magazine there, and I had an ad for auditions for Disney on Ice. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to throw my name there in the hat, see what happens. I know I'm going to school and I have all that planned and set up, but I just want to see if that could be an option for me. Because I was also loved traveling when I was competing. I loved that part of skating too. It just was really intriguing to me. So I threw in an audition video to Disney on Ice. And 3 weeks later, I was in Scotland performing my first show. And it changed the whole course of my life. And since then, I have been to 35 different countries with Disney on Ice and performed in all of them. An opportunity that I would have never have had if I didn't take that leap to join the show. Not only that, I did an 11-year performance career with them. And then I've been a director for the last 7 years. I've met people from all over the world. On the last show that I performed on, we had cast members from 16 different countries. So really talented people, diverse individuals from all over the world. And I still, to this day, my biggest education is the travel and meeting these amazing people that have become my family. And now I have an extended international family of performers, skaters, acrobats, directors, choreographers from all over the world. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity that this job brought to me. And from that, it is such a creative outlet. I said before that Disney on Ice really fuses together athleticism and theatrics, and it does. And it's just, it's me to a T. So I've really encouraged people coming on the road because it's been a great way of me finding out what really is my niche and what I really, really enjoy. But life on the road is very fun, fast paced. And I absolutely love it. And when it stopped for a little while, a year and a half ago, I think March 2020, we all remember that. I kind of had to pivot. I had to figure out how to pivot, as so many people were trying to do. And we can talk a little bit about what I did during that time and how I came back. But Disney on Ice, to me, definitely the best part is the people. And I encourage everyone to take that leap and get on the road and meet some amazing people and let them inspire you, motivate you, and take some chances, because you just never know. I'm so glad I sent in that audition video. Otherwise, I really would have been a school teacher. And there's nothing against being a school teacher, but it's very different to what I do. And I don't think it's as fun. But who knows?
What did the path look like to you becoming the director after stepping on the show, thinking you were going to do a couple years, maybe, and that's all it was going to be? How did it pan out to you stepping up into this bigger job?
Yeah, well, I know it was just going to be a couple years. I said that for a long time. I've not been doing this for almost 17 years, which is crazy to even say out loud. But yes, I joined the company as an ensemble performer. I was in the core and I did a lot of lead role understudies. In the next couple of years, I became a principal role in several different shows for many years after that. Then I became a line captain, which is essentially an assistant director position. So that's kind of a built-in position that kind of, you can test the water to see if this is something you want to get into. And I was a line captain for a role model of mine, Gig Saruno, for many, many years, I think 6 years. And we opened new productions together and I assisted him the whole way through, and he taught me everything I know as a director. So that was my path. I definitely did an assistant spot for about 6 years before getting my own show. And then I've done three different shows now as a director, mainly in America, Mexico, and Canada is where we've toured domestically with these last productions. So I'm here now in Boston with a show called Mickey's Search Party. And we actually open tomorrow night and we do a 2-week run here in Boston. And we have been on a 10-month tour that finishes up at the beginning of May.
Well, that's super exciting. Good luck with the first show. Hope it goes well.
Thanks. Well, it's our opening night just here, but we've been touring for months. So
okay.
Now we just kind of crank them out. Like we're really good. We're finally seen. But it is a little more challenging these days to be back on the road and operating in a COVID world. And that keeps me on my toes. But this company I work for, it's actually called Feld Entertainment. They produce Disney on Ice. They've been super great at being able to figure out a way of touring responsibly and working with venues and different state laws as far as capacity and COVID protocols to keep everybody safe and watching the show. So that has been a new monster that we've all had to kind of navigate with live entertainments in this world right now, but it's going the best it can. We're all doing our best and remaining malleable and adaptable and just doing our best every single week, whatever comes to us. But we're just happy that live entertainment is back.
Yeah, for sure. I know that's a crazy thing that I think a lot of people, like in general, more than just live entertainment, you know, all of us never thought we would have to tackle it all. Like even for us, where we go to different events before, it was just, okay, you're going here, you know, the odd country you would need to get a visa for, because mm-hmm. with sports, it's like a travel, like just so many like travel visas and regular travel visa or whatever. And then now this year with everything going on, you have to be on top of, okay, do I need, like when I went to Japan, I had 18 different papers that I had to have with me almost at all times to get through the airport that took 2.5 hours. Like, and then we go to Croatia, Mike, and we had one paper and it was like walked in like nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so crazy. And then you come back to Canada, there's so many different rules from week to week. Almost there's been different rules, like coming back from events and stuff. So I couldn't even imagine being in the position with like yourself and having to, you know, like those companies having to work with, like you just said, different states, because even in the states is completely different. Same with the provinces in Ontario, like the rules are just completely different. So that must be it, like, I hope it doesn't, like, I'm assuming then I hope that like your jobs are mainly pretty much just run like the same, but it must be crazy for those people in those positions figuring out all of these different rules that you have to follow all the time now, right?
Right. Just playing the COVID game and all those logistics are intense. But the show itself is doing well. People want to come to shows. You know, they've been kind of
deprived.
They've wanted this for a long time, so that they're happy it's back too. So actually, last week we did 8 shows, and through the 8 shows we did, we played to 51,000 people.
That's awesome. Unbelievable. That's super cool. So
people amazing.
Really want family, they want to come to see the ice show, and that is great, especially over the holidays. So we're excited here to open in Boston and keep going. And then we're supposed to come to Canada as well into the new year. So, you know, guidelines and protocols and quarantine times pending, but our plan now is to be in Montreal actually in February, and Toronto is supposed to be in like the next couple months, so fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed, definitely, that you guys can come up and put your show on for us in Canada. Definitely fingers crossed.
Yes.
From there, obviously, you are extremely, extremely busy traveling all over the place. How did you set up your performance consultant? Was that during COVID or pre-COVID?
It was definitely during. It was definitely how I pivoted. So when live entertainment and the whole industry came to a halt, essentially, I went back to my brother's in London, Ontario, and spent some time there with his 3 kids. And then I moved into the condo I own in Tampa. So I've lived in Tampa for the last 10 years, but I've never actually lived in my place.
Change of pace.
So an opportunity came up where the tenant that I had living in there moved out. And I said to my brother, Jay, I'm like, well, I guess this is my opportunity to actually live in my condo for the first time. So I moved to Tampa, Florida, got all situated there and started Find Your Light, which is my performance consulting business. So this was a way of connecting the community, much like what you both are doing right now. I really reached out to a lot of people within the show community, everyone that was jobless at the time. And we really wanted to inspire youth performers, not just skaters, but performers too, to really inspire and motivate people to want to come to shows on the road, to want to join things like Disney on Ice, and to look at it as a legit opportunity where they can really thrive. A lot of people, you know, when you're in the competitive stream, you don't look at shows as an option, but you can make it a really wonderful career. And I am really proud of that. And I like to inspire and motivate people to look at that as an option as well. So Find Your Light was a great way of utilizing all of those people I was just talking about from all over the world, talented performers, just superstars that I talked to on Find Your Light. We called them spotlight calls. We would spotlight one performer, people would hop on the call and ask questions to them, and we would kind of talk about their story. Then that became really fun to work with synchro teams. So I started a lot at the time, a lot of the synchro teams were having trouble finding ice time because either the rinks were closed and the coaches were looking for ways to keep their team engaged and kind of still in it to win it. So I would do Zoom calls with different synchro teams, and we would do Find Your Light, motivation, team building, which was really, really fun. And then by word of mouth, I started working with quite a lot of synchro teams all over North America doing that. And that was really fun for me. And I really didn't see it going that direction, but it was a really fun surprise. And then I do one-on-ones as well. So people from all over the world send me videos for feedback on their performance or whatever they're working on. Maybe it's a solo, maybe it's a pair number, maybe they're putting together an ice theater performance and they want some feedback, or they just want to talk to me and talk to me about opportunities on Disney on Ice and opportunities in on the road and with a show. So I did a lot of those one-on-one calls and I'm still doing them. I still work with single teams. I'm still doing spotlight calls and I'm still doing one-on-one. So if you want to check out my Find Your Light Facebook page, that's where all the information is. It's called Find Your Light with Adam Loosely. And you can get all the information there.
Make sure you guys go check that out. Find Your Light with Adam Loosely on Facebook. So, you know, one thing that I think that was super, like, well, is super cool is that a lot of people were able to, you know, do things like that, find things that they, you know, weren't expecting to with COVID, right? You obviously, you found another, what you said was a pivot for yourself, right? That's what you're describing it as. It was a pivot for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So and it was a nice surprise and it was such a positive one. It was a really positive experience that keeps us, it keeps on giving. So I'm super grateful for that as an opportunity, but also as a community that's kind of growing around it. And it's just a really positive thing to be a part of. So super grateful for that pivot for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, it's, and that's one thing I think that is like everybody can take home is that, you know, there's sometimes where the world shuts down or the world can be negative or, you know, things are not going the way in your life, but you can turn it around and find something that you didn't really realize you wanted to do or something that you can be happy and proud of that changes and pivots your life around, right? So that's congratulations for finding that. Thanks. And that's super awesome. And obviously you're helping out lots of people in our community and in the theater community. So that's huge.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm really, really proud of it. And it's been fun. It's definitely, it was unexpected for sure to have to come to a screeching halt within the entertainment industry. But I agree with what you said. There's always something positive that you can take away. And skaters know how to pivot.
Sometimes. Our coach Allison might argue with that with us sometimes. So then I just found out about this. So where in this retrospect, like where in this path did you write a children's book and become a book author? This is super cool.
When did that idea come about? Have you been thinking about this for a while, or this was purely stuck at home COVID coming up with a new project to tackle?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I definitely was looking for projects for sure. But this was, you know, when I first got shut down, I went home to Canada and I spent a lot of time with my brother and his three amazing kids and my sister-in-law, Tina. So the three kids, Kaysen, Kira, and Kessler, they're pretty amazing. And I would read books to them every night before they went to bed. And I got to tell you, there were some really bad books. I'd get to the end of the children's book and I'd think, man, that was bad. That was bad. I just couldn't believe it. And a lot of the books didn't have a message. They were just kind of just empty. So honestly, I read those over and over each night. And I said to my brother one night after the kids went to bed, I was like, you know, I think I could do better than that. I was like, I can't read these books to the kids anymore. So that's where it really started. And then if you know my brother, he's pretty dry and very funny. And he's like, you're not going to write a book. And immediately, I was Googling, how do I get a book published? I just wanted to prove him wrong. He said I wouldn't do it. And here we are. So I have my brother to thank on that one. But I also needed a creative outlet and I was feeling a little sad that I didn't have this creative job anymore. And at the time I hadn't started Find Your Light yet either. So that wasn't in the works. And I was just kind of sitting around thinking, I want to be creative. You know, I love my job as an artistic director. I love those opportunities and it is a creative outlet for me. So this was a way of remaining creative in kind of a grim time and finding something positive in everything. And my brother's kids are super inspirational. They gave me a lot of material. So they are stars in the book and they love that. They're really proud of it as well. And I think also the illustrator is a really good friend of mine who I toured with for years. He was in the props department. So he's a painter, he's an artist. And he recently worked for Cirque du Soleil. So I knew he was also interested in looking for a job. And this was a way of, his name is Daniel Henke. And this was a way of Daniel and I remaining creative and remaining positive and helping each other out and doing just a really fun project to share with the world. So this was really good for Daniel and myself in a kind of a grim time, but it also was great for my family. The kids love being in the book. And I can prove my brother wrong.
how long did, what's the timeline on this between you saying that you can write a better book to having a book published? What's the timeline between making a book, getting it illustrated? I don't even know what else goes into it, but yeah. It seems like we're not that far away from the start of COVID and you have a book selling on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, at the time I had a lot of time. So I didn't do too bad, but it does take a little bit to get it published. That process takes a little longer than expected, I think. However, the illustrations are so colorful and beautiful. Daniel did such a great job on them, but every time you open a page, it's a completely new work of art. So that takes time to illustrate the book. And I directed what I wanted in the illustrations, but I mean, he's just so talented. When you open the book, it's so bright and vibrant. He really brings the story to life. And he also did such a good job because he does know my family. My mom and dad are in the book. My brother's three kids, like I mentioned, my brother is in the book. I gave him one picture. So he really, the characters look like them. They're like cartoon versions of themselves, which is really fun. The book itself, as far as the concept, with traveling with Disney on Ice, I started following this community called Live a Great Story. And it's a movement that encourages everyone to be the hero of their own story and to live authentically. And you'll travel all over the world and you can see their stickers. It says Live a Great Story. They're round and just white and black. And they're literally all over the world and on major things like Eiffel Tower. There's one, the Great Wall of China, you know, they're all over the place. And I've been following them for years. So Live a Great Story really inspired this, which my book is called You Are a Great Story, which encourages kids to really realize that every day they can make it a great day. And they have the opportunity to make themselves the hero of their own stories every single day. And it's really fun. They learn about what makes good stories as well. As you read the book, it's a choose your own adventure. So you can follow Kaysen, Kira, and Kessler to what really good stories have. So great locations, happy moments and sad moments. They look for heroes and villains and they create their whole story. They search far and wide for the best bedtime story. And at the end they realize, spoiler alert, that they themselves are the great story. So it's a really fun, positive book that's been super great for my family and a great creative outlet in a rather grim time for Daniel and myself. And I'm really proud of it. And I have a second one on the way.
You should be proud of it. And also, I feel like more than just kids can read this book and take something from it.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that other uncles out there that were reading to their nieces and nephews can get and close the book and be like, no, that was good. That was good.
That's awesome. So is the, unless you're not going to give any spoilers, does the second book, is it continued of the family or is it completely different?
No, it continues. You can follow Kaysen, Kira, and Kessler. It's a choose your own adventure. Same structure. And it's called Find Your Light.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. So I was I'm just going to assume here, you probably, did you write the whole, like wrote everything and then sent it to Daniel for him to read and then, you know, illustrate it to it pretty much? Was that like the start of it?
Yeah. Yeah. So you start with the ideas and the concept and the storyline. And then I sent that along with what I was seeing on each page to go with the words. So what moments we choose to animate on the page. So I directed all of the illustrations and then he really brought it to life. So it was a really fun process because he would send me some mock-ups and then we'd talk about it, make some changes. It was really fun for us to connect and work on this project. And he's so good. Like the illustrations are really important for kids' books, you know? And again, I'm lucky to be surrounded by talented artists from all over the place. So it was a fun back and forth process for sure.
It sounds a lot like starting and developing a show, putting a show together, right? Sounds very similar.
Yeah, you can direct a show. If you can direct a book, you can direct a show. They're very parallel. Creative direction.
Well, you are obviously a prime example of following your passion and finding a career in something you're passionate about. What advice would you give to a 15-year-old athlete or just a young adolescent trying to find their passion? And then what follows?
Trying to find their light, some might say. I'd say that, no, don't be afraid to try new things. You have to try things until maybe you do find what really makes you tick, you know, what when you really do find your light, find your glow, all of those things. You have to try things out and see what's for you. And it's very different. People find their light in many different ways. You might be one that likes the spotlight, like myself. I like the spotlight. I like being on stage. That's not for everyone. My brother, very different. If we were to both walk into a party, I would walk directly into the crowd and start socializing, and he would walk around the crowd. Everyone has their own different way. You might be the one, like I said, that likes the spotlight, or you might be the one behind the spotlight. And maybe that's what is you're really passionate about. So try new things, surround yourself with people who encourage you to try new things. And everyone needs a support system. Everyone needs a cheerleader. So surround yourself with people who encourage you to go for it. That would be my advice.
Beautiful. Yes. Try new things and don't be afraid to fail. Everybody who's successful has failed many, many more times than anybody who is unsuccessful by a mile. So don't be afraid to fail when you're trying all these new things. It's not going to work out at first, and that's completely normal.
Yeah.
And skaters really know about that. You know, skaters fall down a lot and we have to get up and carry on. So
yeah,
that's something that the sport really teaches you as well.
Yeah, it sucks when you fail, but you learn so much more from it. And even in the moment when you fail at something, it really sucks and you don't think so, but you learn a lot more from it. So
absolutely.
So, well, before we end this podcast, I just want to say thank you very much for jumping on with us. You've been very inspiring, and it's obviously so great to see somebody, like Mike said, just, you know, taking their passion for skating and going somewhere not exactly particular that, you know, everybody else does. Like, you just, like, you followed your light, and this is where you are. It's so awesome to, you know, see stories about that. I don't think, like, you know, when I first started skating, I liked it. I really liked it. It was fun to do. And you can ask any of my friends. You can ask Mike, my partner. I love figure skating. Figure skating is kind of always on my mind. And it makes me really happy and, you know, excited that when we have people in our community who, you know, don't do the norm and do their own thing and are so passionate about skating in general and find such great things to do. It's been, in this case, like for yourself with your, you know, creative career, and then also like helping others in the sport. It's such an amazing thing. And it really shows, you know, the character of our community and skating in general, I think.
Thanks. And thank you so much for having me on. I've really enjoyed talking to both of you, and you guys do so much work as well. Look at you both inspiring people to be their best, to be exactly who they are. You guys are huge role models. So thank you for what you both do.
Yes. Thank you, Adam, again for the hour of your time. And I got a shout out again, Mr. and Mrs. Loosely. If you're listening to this, thank you. Thank you for everything. You guys are the best. And I appreciate you more than you guys know.
So I gotta say thank you to them too, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have this Ding Dong as one of my best friends. So
it's big circle. Spread the love. So let's finish off with some rapid fire questions. Just some nice, fun, light, quick, easy questions to wrap this up. So who is your favorite Disney character?
Woody.
Nice. Nice. Mike, who's
that was
yours?
Fast, right?
Woody or Buzz, anything Toy Story. I'm huge Toy Story guy. Was Woody your first lead? I'm pretty sure
it was. Yes.
Nice.
I remember watching that. Yes.
Nice. That's awesome. Did you, I guess you couldn't have, did you didn't have Andy on your boot? Did you?
I did.
Of
you
course.
Did?
You have
That's
to.
Awesome.
I sure did.
It's mandatory.
I love that. You know, that Disney trivia. Good job.
Of course. I love Disney in general. So, what is the best city in the world that you have visited?
I like different places for different reasons, but I absolutely love Thailand. Mm. The beaches in Thailand. I would go right to the beaches in Thailand right now if I could.
Beautiful. Well, after the beaches, do you miss the winters in Canada?
I moved to Florida for a reason.
We've asked a couple of people that same question and they've all given the exact same answer.
I don't think anybody has said that they miss it.
Chose a career on ice and I'm from Canada. I've been cold for years. I just want to be warm.
That's fair. What is one thing that is in your fridge at all times?
Or mini bar, I guess, if you're in a hotel room.
I'm just looking over at my fridge right now. I love creating like extensive salads. So I have a lot of salad in there. So I make a big salad. I put radishes on it, celery, cucumber, have my own little dressing. I'll put some either chicken or maybe some salmon on top. So usually that's always stocked with greens.
Nice. Good call.
What are you currently binge watching while on the road?
Veep.
Veep.
It's
never
on
heard
HBO.
Of it.
It's with Julie Marie Dreyfus. She played like Elaine on Seinfeld many years ago, and she plays a madam vice president that is absolutely atrocious at her job. But the humor is so funny; it just makes you feel a little awkward. It's kind of like Schitt's Creek humor.
Oh yeah.
And I just can't stop watching it. It's hilarious.
Nice. And the last question: what is one thing you couldn't live without on the road?
Ziploc bags. Yeah,
multiple uses.
Filling all of the clothes. Ziploc bags are important because all of your like shampoos, body wash, anything that is liquid on travel day can really ruin your day if it explodes.
Good. Yeah, that's
Ziploc
fair.
Ziploc bags are vital.
Ziploc bags. Okay. Good to know. That's awesome. Well, Adam, thank you so much again for jumping on with us, and we hope you have a great opening night in Boston. Great show for the rest of the contract. Hopefully, you know, COVID plays as least amount as possible in that, and hope you have a happy holidays as well.
Thank you very much. I wish you both Merry Christmas as well.
Yes, hopefully we see you at your shows. When are your shows in Toronto?
So Toronto, it should be in about a month. Do you want the actual dates?
Yeah, give us some real dates here, Toronto, Montreal, or if you have the whole Canadian list here, we might as well drop the dates.
Absolutely. So we are in Toronto. We open on the 28th of January, and we have shows through the 30th.
Cool.
Let's see if I can find the rest for you.
I'm going to say, hopefully me and Trent will come check it out, but I hope not. And I hope that Trent and I are on the plane to Beijing while those shows are happening, unfortunately.
I want that for you, too. I will not be offended if I don't see you at the show.
Right, good. We're allowed to get a rain check for that reason?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Good to know.
But Quebec City, we are there in March. We open on March 11th. And then Hamilton, Ontario, we open on March 17th. And then we are in, Montreal, opening on March 3rd.
Awesome.
Beautiful. Well, everybody get your tickets and check out the show. I know the kids, I'm sure, will be dying to see some live performance and see Disney on Ice. So everybody get out there and check those out. Hopefully, fingers crossed, everything runs smoothly and we can have some audiences back.
Yeah. What's the name of the show again for them so that our listeners can look it up?
Yeah, it's called Disney on Ice Presents Mickey's Search Party.
Mickey's Search Party. Go get it, Ice Labbers.
Love it. And of course, when we're in Montreal, the shows are in both French and English. So
nice.
We have performances in both languages.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for jumping on. Merry Christmas and Merry Christmas and happy holidays to our listeners. This is going to air right before New Year's, actually. So we will talk to you guys next year and hope you have everybody has a happy and safe New Year's and get to work in your labs and
peace and love, and be kind to one another.
This episode of the Ice Lab Podcast was produced by Trent Michaud and Michael Marinaro.
Music produced by Hugo Schwinard.
If you haven't already, share with your friends and leave a review.
Follow us on Instagram @IceLabPodcast for more information and to stay up to date.